This is in the second half of the Shirim. We're going to develop a little bit more of what we said last time. So if you missed last time, it's okay, because he's going to pick up on this idea, and he's going to develop the idea of Ahava Al Tanai, that one of the reasons why children act out and children test and push back is because they want to test how do you love them. Is the my love that my parent has for me, my teacher has for me, is that conditional? And if I push the bar and they still love me, will that indicate that they love me unconditionally? But if I push the bar, they don't, and they think I'm, you know, in Rosh Hoffman's words, shalom beseder, you know, that I'm not good, then maybe they don't love me. So the person, the chabura, asked the question, how do you know for sure the child's acting out because he's testing love? Maybe there's other reasons. Maybe there's other narishkeit going inside the kid's head. How do I know when the kid is pushing because he's testing my love for him? Or there's some other reason. So Shlomo Hoffman responds that nothing is isolated, and there's all types of different factors in a person's life, and there's all types of things going on. But what stands out the most is generally this issue. The thing that usually rises to the top is when the kid is misbehaving. Again, except that there's extreme things going on, it's because they want to test and they want to see how does the authority figure relate to them. So he brings a raya, and this is the only maramachm I think I sent out on the chat. He brings a raya from a Rashi in the beginning of Dvarim. It's a beautiful Rashi. It says in Dvarim, "V'lo avisem la'alos, I didn't allow you to go up to Eretz Yisrael, v'tamru es pi Hashem Elokeichem, because you rebelled against the word of Hashem your God. V'taragnu b'Eloheichem, and you were fuming in your tents, v'tomru, b'sinas Hashem osanu, because Hashem hates us. Hotziyon me'Eretz Yisrael, he took us out of Egypt, l'seis osanu b'yad ha'mori, l'ashmidenu, to hand us over to the hands of the Amorites, and to have us destroyed." So Rashi says on this expression, b'sinas Hashem osanu, for who haya ohev eschem? So Moshe was telling them, but Hashem loves you. Aval atem sinu aso. You had hatred towards Hashem. Mashal hedyor omer, ma delavcha al rachamecha, ma debilei alacha. So the Sifsei Chachamim says, as follows, he says, Mefarish kemen shehim sonin lakadosh baruch hu, amur gam hu sonein. Demashal hajot. Kolomer ma shebelibcha shata sone es chavercha, ata omer al chavercha echu sone oscha. So says Moshe to Bnei Israel, just like when you say, this guy hates me, he doesn't hate you. It's because you have feelings of hatred towards him. This is a yesod gadol of Rosh Hashanah Hoffman, of kamayim panim lepanim, right? However you radiate towards another person, they're going to reflect back towards you as well. I heard from Rabbi Simcha Stein, who's the editor of all these amazing Sfarim. So Rabbi Stein told me that Rosh Hashanah would just have to say kamayim. That was like his key. He just said kamayim, and like everybody in the chabura know, he would say this is the sort of kamayim. The sort of kamayim is that you reflect towards other people, they're going to reflect back towards you. So this idea that they hated Hashem, so that teaches us that, you know, that feeling that they had. Bnei Yisrael wanted to test that Hashem loved them. They were pushing and they were pushing and they were pushing. They wanted to test that Hashem loved them. And all people want to be loved. All people want to feel loved. Adults, we reflect this in a more subtle way, right? We don't go around saying, you know, testing people like, you know, I think I'm going to, you know, like...
Some adults do.
Most adults are more subtle about it. Some are more overt, but children are not subtle. So when a child...
Very raw.
What?
They're very raw.
A kid will push. A kid will do something chosmetic and he'll look at you, right? Your kid will like do chosmetic and they'll like stare you in the eye. Why? Because they want to see how you're going to react. Are you going to hate them? Are you going to lash out at them? Or are you going to say that I love you even... You did something wrong, but I love you still. An adult, we're more coy, right? We'll with our spouse or with our coworkers, we'll like push the lines and we'll like try to pretend like, you know, we're being passive aggressive, right? We want to know, we also want to feel as adults, whether you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, you want to feel that people like you. You want to feel that people love you. Okay, so we go about hopefully in a more mature way, but children push because they're not as mature. So he continues and he says that, and he reflects now on his experience working in the jail system, where Shlomo Hoffman was running parole and analyzing people for judges and courts. This is what he did until he retired at the age of 60, where he would see, is this person able to be reformed and not able to be reformed? He would go and advocate on behalf of whoever it was for the judges to know what to do. And Rav Hoffman says that avar yadin, people who sin, people who are criminals, people who do the wrong thing, they make excuses. They make excuses why they say, why does the guy steal? Because, you know, I don't have any money, or because, you know, this person did something to me, I have to get them back. Or they'll have all types of excuses. He says he never sat once across from a criminal who said, there's something wrong with me, I just did it. No criminal ever said that before. The criminal always has an excuse. This person upset me, this guy deserved it, you don't understand my circumstances. Why do they do that? Because they don't want to feel that people don't want them, right? If the guy sitting across from Shlomo Hoffman says, I'm just a shaykhitz. Like, you know, I'm just not together. I'm not a seder. My life is messed up. This is just the way I am. No one wants to feel that way. So what do people do? We make excuses for when we mess up. And he says over here, he says, Ma'olam lo haya echad sh'amar li, stam halachti lignov. No guy ever said, I just went to steal. I was in the mood for it. Never happened before. Because nobody wants to feel shalom b'seder. Everyone wants to feel that they're respected, that they're valued, that they're okay in society. And they want to feel that they're b'seder and that they are loved. So when a child is not b'seder, it's dafka mishum shehu lo b'seder, as ha'pachet shalom shalom ahavo aso hu yosra chazak. When the kid does something not right, then that feeling and that fear of anxiety that maybe you don't love him. Maybe I stepped out of line. A kid gets a 60 on a test. The last thing they want to feel is my parents don't love me because I got a 60 on a test. No kid wants to feel that. They don't want to. They know very well they did something shalom b'seder. They know that 60 is not great. They don't need you to reinforce that they're not b'seder when they get home. They want to feel loved no matter what. And kids feel this more acutely than an adult. And that's the most important thing, that he should never feel that his love or her love depends on a grade, depends on a performance, depends on the way they dress. That's what Shlomo Hoffman is saying. So they ask the following question. What makes a child feel loved conditionally? How does a kid get to that stage where he arrives, where he thinks that his love, that the love it's giving is conditional? So is unconditional, correct. So Rav Hoffman says that people are generally born isolated. People are born without, you know, self-esteem. They're dependent on other people. They are ha'adam nolad bodeid. A person is born alone. David HaMelech says, ger anochi ba'aretz. He says, I am a stranger in the land. So Rav Hoffman says, we're talking about David HaMelech, who's had the greatest love in the world for his dear friend Yonasan, right? Who felt more loved, right? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says the ideal of a Ava, Shiloh Tzlui B'davar, Ein Tzlui B'davar, doesn't matter anything else, is David and Yonasan. And David is going to say, I feel like a stranger in the land. So it means that he felt bodeid, that from the time a person is born, when he once he comes out into this world from his mother, so he feels that, you know, he needs other people, that he's not dependent of himself, and people feel sustained based on others. They need other people. And so too, people have a she'ifa, a desire to connect to people, to things, whatever it may be. So this tells us, he says, that problematic behavior increases a feeling that a person is conditionally loved. When a person has more problematic behavior, it's because they feel more that they're conditionally loved. Meaning the person's not born feeling that they're conditionally loved. They're born feeling that we need people. They desire people's attention, love, affection, things like that. But he says you can gauge that when an individual has problematic behavior, it's because there's an increased feeling that he is being conditionally loved, and he wants to push to see how society will react to him. He wants to push to see how people will treat him. So they asked another question in the Chabura, and they said, should we not now make conditions for kids? What, so now everything is hefker, no matter what my little tzaddikal does, everybody's happy with him, and he takes his yogurt and he throws it across the room, and I love him unconditionally, so there's no conditions at all, and everything is hefker? So this is going back on a yisod we said before, and it's just a beautiful way to bring back what we've been saying for the last few months together. He said no. He said the world works with conditions and gedarim for proper behavior. We're not saying there's no gedarim, and we're not saying there's no conditions. You have to behave properly. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that most people are strong enough for conditions. Most healthy human beings can say, don't do that, because if you do that, then there's going to be consequence A. You can't come to work late 5 times in a row, or else there's no going to be work day on day 6. There's going to be conditions of proper behavior. I love you very much, but if you come late one more time, I'm going to fire you. Most people can handle conditions, and that's a healthy thing. But you have to watch out, he says, first of all, for very sensitive kids. He says for extremely sensitive kids, it might be they need to have less conditions until they feel and they have that trust that the love is unconditional. He says what we find the most is that kids who are pampered. He said pampered children are the most open to the possibility of being sensitive to push and wanting to feel conditional love. They're more attached. They more clingy. They're often acting out more because they're often looking to see how people treat them. So he gives three examples of pampered children. So one, he says, is an only child. Okay. So one is me. Okay. The second one is a ben zikunim. If there's like a long break between kids and there's a kid born, like there's like a long gap, so also they can be, oh, they're good, we're getting the whole table good. So one is that also they feel that, you know, maybe, you know, my parents are interested in me, you know, but they were very pampered as a child and they got a lot of attention and now they're leaving the house and, you know, are they getting the same attention at school as they're getting at home? The last, he says, is a chola, a child who's sick, because the parents are constantly involved, constantly checking in, constantly checking the child, all of these things. These children often can't hear no. Based on the way they were pampered, when somebody from the outside then tells them no, unless they were properly told no when they were younger, when they get to a place that's outside of their sphere, it's hard for them to handle no because they were pampered and they can't relate to hearing no. Now, those are all extreme things, he says. Most kids are not like this. Most kids can say, stop it, don't do that, you're being annoying, you know, time to grow up, and that's fine. He says that, so how do we now make conditions and how do we, you know, our mechanech our children? He says that requests and rewards have to be shown for the good of the child. This is something we said in the past. When you tell a child to do something and you say you have to do this or else, it needs to be clear to the kid that it's for their benefit, okay? And it's not for your kavod. A child should never feel that if he's bad, if he doesn't do what you want. You didn't listen to my request, and therefore you are bad. You are lo beseder. He gives the example that we spoke about in the past of getting dressed, right? I'll tell you, well, for open discussion, honesty, we're going through this with one of my kids right now. He or she, we'll try to keep them anonymous, you know, they don't want to get dressed by themselves. They won't do it. They're totally capable, physically capable. They do the whole thing by themselves. They could. But mommy has to get me dressed and daddy has to get me dressed. And getting dressed in the morning is like a whole episode. It's a whole episode. It really should be, you know, it should take 10 minutes and it's like 35 minutes of mamish nothing going on. So Ruth Hoffman says, don't say to the child, if you don't get dressed, you know, they're not going to have any good snacks for lunch. Or don't get dressed, or it's going to be early bedtime. Because what you're turning it into is your behavior is now a condition for how I will relate to you. Your condition is how I'm going to treat you. Because you are being poge my kavod. I made a request you have to get dressed. Kach gezarti, you know, min hashamayim. This is the gzera, and you have to listen to it. He says, the way to do it is, it's for your benefit. Tell the child, you need to get dressed on your own because you're a big kid, you're a big boy, you're a big girl, and big boys and girls get dressed by themselves. And what's going to be if you're in school and, you know, your pants fall down and you can't get dressed now by yourself? A big boy and big girl have to get dressed by themselves. The reason they have to feel that the request that you're making of them is for their benefit. Now,
how do you punish, how do you threaten them if they're not listening to them?
So then the threat needs to be, whatever you decide to be, it should probably, this is now not Rosh Hashanah, it should probably match whatever the issue is, meaning generally they say that the consequence should match the issue, right? If the kid is not getting dressed, the consequence does not have to be, I'm not going to, you know, whatever it is. So maybe,
you have to get your other somebody dressed.
So maybe it is. So it has to be something
with,
we'll just wait, you know, it'll take off your, we'll take off your own time, whatever it is. It has to be something in a way. Again, he's not saying not to make a condition. There can be conditions, but the condition should never be tied to your kavod. I made a request. You have to listen, and therefore there's going to be a punishment. It should be, you have to learn how to take care of yourself. You can't sit at the table and throw yogurt all over the table. That's not why. Because you're going to grow up and you're going to go to school, you're going to people's homes, and you can't throw yogurt on the table. You can't do that. For you, it's for your benefit. I'm teaching you for your benefit. This is not the proper thing to do. Now, does it mean that you can't have any cover in the game? Of course you can have some cover in the game. But you cannot shine, and you cannot radiate, and you cannot broadcast to the child that listening to this request makes how you feel about them conditional. And that it's, you're now being pogam in my kavod, and now I feel negatively about you because you didn't listen to me. That, he says, is important.
Right. Well, that makes sense. I'm just saying, that doesn't quite make sense. I don't know if it quite works to say you have to get dressed so you'll know how to get dressed. Because, like, I know that. I just don't want to. I know how to get dressed.
Okay, see,
I
watch
you. More like they're looking, like you said. They're looking for attention.
So right now, you're a big whatever. As you start getting ready for school, you have to dress on your own. Things are going to be busy in the morning. Mommy and daddy can't spend 45 minutes getting dressed for your own benefit. You need to learn how to do it on your own. You have to go back to the yisod, that it's not for me.
Right.
It's not for my kavod. It's for your benefit. You need to learn how to get dressed by yourself. You cannot be 16 years old and mommy and daddy are getting dressed in the morning. You can't do that.
Saying, I don't know if they think, I can't get dressed. I might just be thinking.
I don't want to.
I want my.
Yeah. I want my parents to struggle with.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like.
Yeah.
So I like a lot.
Then is it incorrect to tell children that kibud av aim is listening to your mom and dad?
I'm wary to personally. I'm wary to go down that road, because then we're getting into, you know, if I listen to mommy, then listen to mommy and daddy, I'm good. And if I don't listen to mommy and daddy, then I'm bad. Mm-hmm. And then maybe how mommy and daddy feel about me is dependent on how I act.
And Hashem feels about it.
So we don't need to get into religious guilt as well. Let's, so again, it's not about your request or demand. It's about...
We do kind of do that, right? When we say that, like, you know, our Tati and Shemayim, you should serve Hashem like you're listening to your parents.
That's
we do kind of do that.
We do kind of do it, but I don't think it's helping to make it the axis and the center of everything that's going on. If every single time you're playing the Kibud Av Aim card, you're going to wear out. It's going to lose its effectiveness at a certain point.
It's something we all struggle with, so it's like becomes too much. Because I think, like, okay, I'm not. Everyone, that's like one of the hardest mitzvahs. No,
yeah, true.
I don't remember who, but one of the big dalim from a chinuch point of view said that he would not correct children if it's something they would grow out of.
Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's in the biography of Yaakov.
Like dancing on the table.
Yeah, that's the story. That's the story that he was the kid was dancing on the table.
Right.
Yeah,
so in this case, he's gonna at 16, he is gonna get dressed.
Hopefully. No, unless he becomes finicky, meaning unless he develops this child who, not if now it's not getting dressed.
So
I can't make my lunch by myself. I can't,
I can't have no independence.
Exactly. It's all of that idea as well. It's we all want our children to grow independently. I heard once from Meir Tversky, he said that, one of my rabbis, he said that it's okay to ask your child, can you please get a glass of water? In order to be mechanech them that you get things for parents, and that's okay. He says it can't be, though. It has to come from... Exactly. A conscious place of being mechanchem. Not that, like, I'm just interested in getting up. It has to cut. If you are suddenly turning your child into, you know, an indentured servant, then we have a problem. So you have to be honest with yourself. You know, am I doing it because every once in a while it's good to get them in the habit of helping out and chores and things like that? Or am I doing it because I have, you know, free help around the house? So the parent has to be conscious of what he's doing. As long as you're, I think if a parent is conscious of that, they'll be on top of it. If they're aware of that, you know, dichotomy going on, they'll probably be on top to make sure they don't overstep their bounds in most cases. He says, Shehadrish zeh l'tovaso v'imlo hu yafsid. He should never feel that this is for your good, and if you don't do it, then, you know, then you're a bad kid. But rather he should feel that it's for his benefit. And if you don't take care of this, my little tzaddikal, then you're going to lose out. I feel bad for you. You're not going to mature and to become the type of individual you should become. He's a child should feel that fulfilling the request is for his benefit. The ikker thing is this feeling, he says. It's all about the tone and the feeling that the kid has during these particular interactions. Then he says, "Kamayim panim lepanim," right? That feeling of passing over that feeling and that emotion, and his, all this builds imun. It all builds trust. You through these interactions, again, these repetitive interactions, you build trust and you build more trust, and you build more trust. And he talks about how he built trust with criminals. Okay, I guess jail is a good place to learn about how to be mechanech, you know, children in some way. And I was reading, actually, whatever, I was over Shabbos, I was reading some of the Hespedim that were said by the Shloshim of Shlomo Hoffman, and just the huge amounts of work that he did in the jails, and really, he worked for the parole board till he was 60, so he took pension, and then he went back to yeshiva for the next 30 years. And he learned in Beis HaTalmud, called Torah, till he was 90. His professional job is that he served on the, I don't know what the official title is, the social worker, psychiatric board of the parole to see whether someone is fit to go back to jail for more time or is ready to get out. That was his job. He had tremendous insight into reading people. So he said that generally the people who sit on the parole are scared of criminals. Okay? They're scared of their outbursts and their fear and the person's gonna do something. And in all the rooms, there's no cigarettes, there's no pens on the table, because they're always afraid the criminal's going to have an outburst. That's how he began. So Hoffman said that I never, ever lied to a criminal. Not once did I ever lie and say something that wasn't true. He said, I would always come in and say, you know, the judge feels this is the issue. I'm here on behalf of the judge to see, are you interested in reforming or not? And they would have open, honest conversations. Never to say, you know, he's representing one side, anything like that. He always tried to build trust, and he was always emistic. And he said, at a certain point they knew, Sha'ani lo mishaker. Vani omer lehem esemes. I always tell them the truth. And by building that trust of truth, that allowed them to open up. He said, all he would do when he came to the room is and tell them, I'm simply going to give you advice of how to turn around and get out. I'm here to tell you that if you want to get out of jail, then for your own benefit, it's like the same conversation, just like an adult, right? For your own benefit, you need to do X, Y, and Z. You need to come and meet with the social worker and talk with the therapist and go through the steps. I'm here to help you get out. But if you want to turn your life around, you need to follow these steps. It's all for their benefit. And that's what you have to do. And he would never get angry. Afpam lo ka'asi alav. I never got upset. I never took it personally. He said, I just showed trust. Kamayim panim l'panim. And therefore he says, that's why I was never afraid to have cigarettes on the table or pens on the table or things like that. Because when I walked into the room with a criminal, it was all about radiating trust. I radiated trust, never lying to them, never putting on a show, and therefore, no one ever hurt me, no one ever harmed me, and by the end of our meeting, they knew that I was there for their benefit, try to help them, and try to turn their lives around to get out of jail. So he says over here, just towards the end, he says the ikar is to be mashpia on them, and to do it in a positive way, and he says, don't judge. He says instead...
The criminals or the children?
Both. He says, don't judge. He says, instead, think of how you can help, and that builds trust. When you're involved with anybody who's problematic, whether it's a hardened criminal or even a child who's pushing back, don't judge. Try to build trust. How can I help the child? The child is clearly suffering right now. They're clearly upset about something. How can I help the child and move them from that place they're in pain and help build trust with the child? He says that the trust between the teacher, the child, of the parent and the child, that's the ikra chinuch. The main chinuch that a parent can do is to build trust with the child. Because when you have trust, then the child will be motivated and they'll work harder and they'll do more. All of those things come through trust. But ridiculing, yelling creates guilt. It creates yeish. And the child feels, you know, what's the point? They're just going to feel guilty about themselves. And tell him, right now, you're young, and when you act in such a way, that's one way. But when you get better, you can't act this way. When you get out in life and you go into the world and you want to meet other people and you want to have friends, You can't act the way you're acting right now. It's for your benefit. It's not about my kavod. And he says, you have to radiate trust. And if you radiate trust, then you'll be able to do other things as well. So they asked him one question here. They asked him one question here at the end. And he said, you know, the criminal is one thing, right? A criminal is one thing. But we take our kids personally, though, right? He says, you're a social worker. You're going into a jail. Okay, so the criminal says, you know, drop dead. I hate you. Get out of here. Fine. So what do you want to do? He doesn't want my help. I'm trying to help him. So I can separate, you know, my feelings from interacting. So they asked Rav Hoffman, but I can't like, you know, go home for my kids and like leave my work. Like, of course I take it personally when my kid does something obnoxious and does something mean. So I can't like, it's not the, how is it the same thing? Right? We hear the question, right? It's not, you can't leave that. So Rav Hoffman said that the parent or the teacher can't have any ambitions or kavod in it. If you have any kavod in the game of being a mechanech or a child, if you have any ambitions, I need to do this so my kid will get into a good school. I need to do this so my kid will be good for shidduchim. And you start putting ambitions and kavod and yourself into being a mechanech or a child, he said, then it's never going to work. He said, what happens? He says, when it's all about ambitions and being right, so then the mora thinks that either the father of the child doesn't know how to raise the son, or the kid is a mushchas, the kid's terrible, but I am the teacher, and I'm always beseder, right? Because I can't not be beseder, or else there's something wrong with me, and there can't be something wrong with me. And the father thinks either the kid's no good, or the class is destroying him, and it's the school's fault, right? Because the father doesn't want to feel shalom beseder. So nobody, everybody's ambitions, everybody's kavod are getting in the way of trying to help the kid. And the kid is concerned, what is the kid convinced of? Everybody else is a Russia. everybody's a Russia because the parent hates me and the teacher hates me and nobody likes me and everything is terrible. And therefore he says that each one has to make sure not to judge, not to have ambitions, not to get their kavod in the way. And he says if you have kavod in the way, then you're going to take it personally. Don't take it personally when the kid's obnoxious. Clearly the kid is in pain and the kid is suffering, the kid's upset about something. How are you going to help? How are you going to draw them out of that? How are you going to build that trust? And how are you going to connect to them? And again, using our Yisod of Kamayim, that you're going to reflect that positivity, reflect that trust, and that will bring them out of that difficult thing. And he says, when a person has ambitions, kan maschilim kol habayot. That begins all the problems. And the teachers, the parents have ambitions and they have, they're covered in the game. So that starts with all the problems. And that's what, that creates issues later on. Okay.